diddly-hi, Homer!
Hey, what is it now, Flanders?
Oh, nothing much, Homer. Just wanted to show you my new iPod.
Look, just keep it in your pants, because my kids are running around here.
Oh, no, Homer. I'm not talking about my tiddly-winky. I'm talking about my new video iPod. I got it loaded with video, music, and podcasts. I'm partial to the Godcast Network. That Rev Tim is scrumptiddlyicious.
Look, Flanders, I'm not impressed with your bling. I'm quite happy with my vintage 8 subwoofer jambox. I can still breakdance like it's 1988. Electric boogaloo.
Suit yourself, Homer. Hi, diddly later.
Ah, stupid Flanders. Thinks he knows everything. We know better, don't we, Hammer?
Can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living and you know.
Can't touch this.
Look at my eyes, man.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science fiction, and all things geek. This is show number 117 for June 12, 2006. This show is based on one formerly known as Technorama. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. If you're a returning listener, you know what to do. Shut up, sit down in the back of the class. Have fun. There's the PDA telling me it's Technorama time, so we are right on time.
It's Technorama time. It's Technorama time.
Hey, kids, what time is it? I can't hear you.
Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the...
Never mind. No. We'll get in trouble if we start stealing too much commercial information.
SpongeBob chat.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a story about Craig's dryer.
Yes, my dryer.
Story about my free wife.
Yes.
And the geek version of Snakes on a Plane, it's called Phones on a UPS Truck.
Hey, what's the radius of... Never mind, I'm up.
So, everybody open your songbooks to hymn number 2060612 and sing along, because we're about to do On This Day in Tech History.
I'm going to shut up now.
On this day in tech history for June 12, 2006. This is June 12th. It's the 163rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 202 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1967 that Venera 4 is launched. It will become the first space probe to enter another planet's atmosphere and successfully return data. And on this date in 1982, in New York City Central Park, 750,000 people rally against nuclear weapons. Jackson Brown, James Taylor, Bruce Springsteen, and Linda Ronstadt are in attendance. U.S. President Ronald Reagan publicly challenges Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the Berlin Wall at Brandenburg Gate on this date in 1987. And on this date in 1996, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a panel of federal judges blocks a law against indecency on the internet. It was on this date just 2 years ago that a 1.3-kilogram chondrite-type meteorite strikes a house in Ellersville, New Zealand, causing serious damage but no injuries. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1577 to Swiss astronomer and mathematician Paul Gauguin. Also, French geologist Edmond Hébert was born on this date in 1812. American biochemist and Nobel Prize winner Fritz Albert Lippmann was born on this date in 1899. And German physiologist and Nobel Prize winner Bert Sackmann turned 64 today. And finally, Alan Wiener, the American radio pirate and shortwave radio station owner, turns 53 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for June 12, 2006.
Rev Tim.
This is Rev Tim from the Rev Tim Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, hold your headphones tightly to your ears. Your MP3 treat is coming in the form of Chuck Tomasi from Chuck Chat.
Hey, Craig. How's your weekend going?
Do you really want to know?
Well, just give me the highlights.
I'll give you one big highlight. It's been going on for about four freaking days. My dryer went out the other morning. I went downstairs, and I remembered there were some wet clothes in the washer from the night before. My wife went to bed, and they were still in there, so I threw them in the dryer. Went upstairs, and I got dressed and everything. Came down to leave for work, and I didn't hear anything in the dryer. I was like, I thought I'd just turn it on. So I went in there. Everything was still warm, but, of course, totally wet, you know, because I'd just thrown it in there. And the dryer had died. I was like, oh, man. So that night I looked at it the next night. I mean, I took the voltometer and was ohming out all the switches, everything, checking everything out. And, you know, there's lint in there. It's been about 5 years since we had the thing. And there's lint and stuff, you know, blown around in the,
In the exhaust vent?
No, inside the unit. It's just a little bit everywhere. And I thought, well, maybe the motor burned out. And that's what I was looking at today. I was like, well, I didn't really want to dig in to get to the motor, but I'll check it out. So I took the conduit off and got to the blades, took that off, got to the motor. And remember, this is like 4 days running. I've been trying to fix this. And I pulled off the thing, and I got in there to look at the motor, and I went, hey, there's a cable loose. I was like, how in the crap did that come off? It was a metal clip, you know. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was just standing there.
Well, the things rattle around. They come
off. It's a clip, man. It's not like, it shouldn't just slide off.
Squirrels.
But I was like, I started thinking, well, did I pull it off, you know, messing around with it the other day? But, you know, it's got a restraint around it. And I was like, man, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. I've been testing every, I know that dryer inside and out. It's just a stupid cable. I plugged it up, worked perfect.
Oh, at least you didn't have to buy a new one.
Well, I can. I only got one plug in there because it's a stackable unit. We got the cat box in there.
Oh, okay.
So we only got one plug, and it operates both. But so, yes.
So our washer went out when we were doing construction a few years ago. Just when you don't have a whole lot of money, it piles up. It's like, oh, yeah. Good. Now we need to go buy a washer.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, the funny thing about it was I think that wire, it must not have been right on the from the factory, because I think it was grounding out or something just a little bit.
Yep.
You know, while it was freestanding, touching it. Because my problem was my breaker was flipping the day of. So I was working on the looking at electricity. I was like, well, it says it's got 220 coming through here. So, you know, and it was actually kicking my stove off when I was trying to start the dryer.
I knew you'd have a technology tie in here somewhere.
Oh, man. So I went around, you know, circles trying. I pulled the panel off. I was looking at the breakers, make sure they weren't burnt. Da, 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 you know, and next thing I know, it's a stupid wire. So, anyway, just like a regular computer.
Well, go ahead and ask me about my weekend.
Well, Chuck, how was yours?
We had a rummage sale this weekend. I talked my wife into it, and she was a little hesitant at first. I said, look, we got this microwave sitting around. We've got this vacuum cleaner sitting around. We've got all this stuff because we've upgraded.
And the kids are just sitting here.
We never really throw anything away. We think we're going to donate it, and we never do. And pretty soon we got a whole bunch of stuff. And it's like, oh, man. So
the house.
We finally pulled the trigger, and we planned this a long time ago. We were racing the clock against road construction. We had the thing. So to be a little more creative, the people across the street were having a rummage sale at the same time, too. It works really well when you get a whole neighborhood at once. For those of you who don't know what a rummage sale is, if you don't have these in your part of the world, I was going to do an audio tour of one of these things, but never came around to it. We basically gather all the junk in our house, put a price on it, and hope other people will buy our junk. And while we're doing that, the family wanders off and buys junk from other people. So it's really a net zero gain.
Well, you know, rummage sales are international. It's called eBay.
Well, that's true. If you think of it, yeah, as a local version, you can just come and get your stuff. Instant gratification. Anywho, I sold a bunch of stuff. I sold my old 8mm camcorder for about $30. Threw in the bag and a bunch of 8mm tapes. Didn't sell the old TV or VCR, unfortunately. But I think I turned out of my personal stuff. I got about $75, which wasn't too bad. Anyway, the funniest part was I was sort of pretending I was in competition with the people across the street and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to put a sign on the back of my van that was still in the driveway that says free Wi-Fi, hoping people will come with a laptop and linger, you know, kind of like a Starbucks. I have free Wi-Fi at my rummage sale. Well, I put it on the back of the van and just kind of put the rear wiper blade over it. So it was between the words free on the top line and Wi-Fi on the bottom line. A little while later, this lady comes up and goes, I took a look at your sign. What does it say? I said, it says free Wi-Fi. She goes, oh, the way that the wiper blade was cutting off the tops of the letters, it looked like it said free wife. I was coming to check her out.
Does she do Windows?
Then I totally forgot about this thing, and I drove Lisa to her karate class later that day with the thing on the back of my van.
Oh, great.
And I didn't realize it was still there till after I came out and went, oops, still got the sign on the van. Well, at least if they find the podcast van, they'll find free Wi-Fi.
There's a bunch of kids sitting around it in laptops.
Oh, I thought somebody might have thought there it was a political statement like, free Wi-Fi, how long has he been in prison?
Run it on, dude. Oh, yeah.
Free Wi-Fi. Like free Mitnick, free Lamo, free Wi-Fi. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
We answer your email, you fat bastard.
What?
That was an email clip I probably shouldn't have played. Well, we'll delete that.
That's what you get for trying to get rid of your wife.
We do have a rather wonderful email from listener Kathy regarding relationships. Oh, I wish I had some nice pleasant music to play in the background here. Yeah. This would go Jupiter. Really well. No, Jupiter. Not Jupiter, and definitely not Mars. Oh, okay. Maybe I can find Venus real quick. Craig.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Okay.
I can find it. It's right there. That's what playlists are all about, more or less. Chuck and Craig. I started listening to Technorama late last fall, and I have to say, it's my favorite podcast. Well, that's wonderful.
I'm sorry.
It's taken me this long to get caught up, but now that I'm there, I hope to stay that way. It's always good to be caught up. I'm a minister with a degree in engineering, and I'm basically a geek at heart. I was listening in the car one day when my son was with me. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
He liked it so much that when he got home, he subscribed. Now he's always saying, have you listened to the latest one about? Sounds like us with BSG, man. Yeah. That is a true fan. He turned 16 on Friday, June 16th. So if you'll read this for me, happy birthday, Joe, from Mom. If you need another tagline, how about Technorama? Good for mother-son bonding. That's from Kathy. Thank you very much, that's Kathy.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks.
It's those kinds of email that really keep us going on this show. We're really glad to have it, and I'll have to find some more appropriate music next time, but that was all right.
Thank you. I was trying to pull up waiting music for you.
Waiting music?
Yeah, that's right here. Wait a minute. I'm waiting on it.
What, the Jeopardy theme?
Thank you.
Keep that handy. You may need it again. But for right now, we've got...
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Incoming call from Bob Pankratz.
So I took the initiative in creating the internet.
Houston, we've had a problem.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, Bob and Appleton. In one of the last two episodes, you guys were talking about the new video camera with the hard drive, and you got on the tangent of video formats. I wanted to call in with a minor correction. Craig had mentioned that MP4 was a encoding format. MP4 is not an encoding format. MP4 is actually a container format that holds other formats. Inside of MP4, you can put in H.264, you can put in Sorenson, you can put in QuickTime, you can put in XVID. Think of MP4 like AVI. It's actually a container. It's not actually the encoding codec, and there are a number of them that you can use. As for what you want to get out of the video camera, if you want to do super high quality editing, you want a video camera that can output MPEG-1 or MPEG-2. When the MPEG is spelled out, that's actually a codec. I don't remember which one of them, but Final Cut, Pro Express, and iMovie all use one of them as their native format and can read those files directly to go directly into editing. They can also do some things with the DV formats, but those are quite a bit slower to process in those tools. So if you get something that outputs MPEG directly, you can use that. After you're all done in iMovie, Final Cut Express, or whatever, then you would output to either AVI, DV, VOB, MPEG, or MP4 as your container, and then you would pick your encoding format. For the web, you would use H.264. For internal private use, you probably just use something from the QuickTime suite of movies just because they're fast and easy. So it all depends on where you're going, though, as to which one you're going to use. That's it. It's really confusing, and maybe sometime we could have a longer show about it, but that's what the formats are like. Thanks. Have a great day.
I think my head just exploded.
Did he say Kodak or codec? I didn't get it. Anyway, hey, I do the camera you were talking about. I didn't have that particular model, or I don't know the exact model that you were looking at, but I did search for some of the hard drive cameras.
It's and the they do JVC. I've got it right here. Avario.
Well, yeah, I did search. I searched for JVC hard drive camera or whatever, and what I came up with was that it did several layers, or not layers, I should say, different qualities, and it had everything from MPEG-2, which was the highest, which is actually what a DVD is, on down. So you could just pick, that way you can save hard drive space, you know, depending on what quality you want. So MPEG, yeah, and I know MPEG, and Bob is right, MPEG-2, you can pull into really anything. So
that'd be good.
It should work perfect because it's the same resolution as a DVD, which is what you're going back out to, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't have any loss. It's not going to have to recompress it as far as trying to go down or up, you know, to make it look right. So, MPEG-2 should be able to...
I would love to hear from anybody who's got one of these new JVC Averios or has tried one, particularly on a Mac, because that's my video editing platform of choice. Hold on.
This hard drive things would be cool.
I think so too. It'll definitely speed up the transfer speed. You won't have to watch the bloody thing for an hour while it transfers.
The other plus side is that you're not stuck with just an hour tape.
Right. It's up to 10 hours on some of them, depending on what quality. If you get the 30 gig model and you're at ultra DVD movie mode, you can get 7 hours, 10 minutes. That's a heck of a long time.
That's really good, considering. And those are those. I think it uses those little miniature hard drives, so that's why they get away with so much battery life. But I bet you $20 the default battery that comes with it doesn't last that long.
It's probably an hour.
Yeah.
To match the old tape format.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest with you, when we go on vacations, I usually take at least two-hour tapes. And I usually for like a week, I end up with like 45 minutes with a video, if that.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back after this.
I used to have people call all the time. 9 times out of 10, you're never going to get that.
Close enough for government. We're called none other than Technorama.
Enjoying Technorama.
He's also installed a robot. This thing's made out of a big whiskey bottle.
Working.
Oh, that's kind of weird. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. You know what I thought about?
Pre-release.
Pretty wild.
It is pretty wild.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Real quick question for the listener out there. I want to know, what technology do you take to the bathroom? This is a discussion that carries over from...
Sorry, I'm going to spit out my beer on the microphone.
An email thread that I think Dean Jensen, Beaker One, and I were having the other day when he said he puts his MP3s on his palm and then goes and listens to them while he's in the bathroom and whatnot. And we were talking... Oh, the Apple emulator. That's right. He was playing Zork, and I said, oh, yeah, I sometimes play Choplifter with that Apple Palm emulator as well. I want to know, does anybody else do this? I mean, do you just take your cell phone off your belt clip and start playing games or browsing or reading email?
Okay, I'll play it out here. I do know that I do take my pocket PC in there sometimes because it's easy to, you know, pick up Wi-Fi and get on the net. You know, sometimes I have electronic books on there, but I find they're kind of hard to read on there sometimes. But, you know, game, I had a couple games on it.
Glancing over to the chat room, we've got Chad, Frank DeFixer, Glenn, Human Shield, Jeep and Dave, K.O., Mark Shepard, you, me, the Technorama Bot, Stingray, Tim Elliott, and Zaha Doom. And Marcus saying, I take my Macworld magazine. Zaha Doom takes laptop or BlackBerry. Frank DeFixer takes his PDA.
I will say I do take Linux Journal or my pocket PC in that order.
You're like a PDF?
No. If I have a Linux journal.
Oh, okay. Like a
hard dead tree copy. Version.
Dead tree version.
If I don't have a fresh copy of that, then I'll that's the PDA.
Mark says he takes his library PDA.
The library.
We don't have any birthdays on the listener birthday calendar other than we did a little bit of advance notice on Joe, Kathy's son. So if you want to be on the listener birthday calendar, people are still editing and adding their names to the wiki. Under the fun and games section, there is a listener birthday calendar. We will call your name out when the appropriate time comes. And I don't think there's anybody in August yet. That's a hard one to believe. I might have to put my daughter down or something. Oh, wait, don't put your kids down.
And now the news with this guy and that guy.
Craig, what have you found for the news stories tonight?
Thanks, that guy.
That guy. I'm this guy. You're that guy.
Well, the first one I thought some people would really get off. You know, no, I'm the guy. I'm the man.
Ooh. Slam.
And I want you to refer to me that as during the rest of the show.
Yes, sir.
I thought some old school Nintendo people would get a kick out of this. It's Monopoly, the Nintendo Collector's Edition. And they replaced all the properties with Nintendo characters,
all the game pieces. Instead of a hat, a boot, you get, what did they say?
Well, there's the Donkey Kong's barrel. Yep. There's
Mario's hat.
Yeah, Mario's hat.
The Koopa Troopa shell.
Zelda's shield.
Link's heavy metal boots.
Hey, I do like the, there's a turtle, like the one where Mario jumps on.
Yep.
And the Nintendo
original NES controller. All created as pewter tokens. You know what? That came out just as I was about done with games, so some of that doesn't mean diddly to me. I'm sorry.
Stuff like Donkey Kong and stuff like that, you know, there's some really good... Actually, to be honest with you, I never got on the Nintendo ride that much. I never got an NES system or any of those, but... I did think about going back and looking at some of the emulators and play some of those games because there's some really good stuff in there, you know. Now you can do it with emulators.
My nephew brought one by in 1992 when we just moved into this house and my brother came to live with us for a while. And he was ripping through, I think it was like Super Mario or Mario's World or I forget which one. Which one had Yoshi in it? Like one of the early ones with that. And he's just zipping around and jumping around. I'm going, what in the heck are you doing, man? I felt like, you know, Rain Man over there going, like, jump, jump. It's time to jump. Yeah, I'm a very good driver.
About a dollar.
Kmart sucks.
Hey, I thought about, I mean, you know, there, since I got a modded Xbox, I can put an NES emulator on it and play some of those games. I thought it'd be cool to go back and, you know, start playing something. Because they're going to be fresh to me and my son. So, but I tell you what. As far as the console goes, from what I've seen, I am looking into that Nintendo Wii. That thing looks pretty cool.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't want an Xbox 360?
Nah.
You don't want a PS3?
Nah. Those are overpriced. I think the Wii is going to be
cheaper, but it looks like more fun because you got the wireless controller that you can move around, and you know, it just looks like it'll be more fun to play games on it.
I thought the other ones had wireless controllers as well.
Wireless, but no. You haven't followed anything on the Wii, have you?
Nope.
It's got like a television remote, which only has a few buttons and one of the crosshair things. So it's actually a controller.
Oh.
But not only does it wireless, but it also tracks where your controller is in space. So it knows if you're moving it up and down or right and left or around in circles. So that way it gets you involved in the game.
So if you're playing tennis, pinball, it'll tilt.
Yeah, you can swing it, tilt it. You can turn the controller sideways, and some people were using it to drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could move it around, and it's got a little speaker in it, so it can transmit back some sounds, depending on what game you got, give you a little feedback.
All right, let's go on to Google. Browser sync.
Yeah, I know everybody in the world's probably heard about this already, but, you know, Google released the browser sync tool for Firefox, and it syncs your bookmarks, your cookies, passwords, all that stuff. Now, I'm not doing passwords. I don't think I really need to because most of the ones I know, you know, by hand. Cookies, I don't really care so much about. But
does it send it to a central server?
What it does is it does send it all to Google server. Sends all this stuff, the bookmarks, everything that you choose. You give it a key, like a passphrase or something, to synchronize or to encrypt your stuff. The key is stored on your machine. That's not sent to Google, so it's encrypted before it's sent to Google, so they say. Okay, so all that stuff sent to Google. Now, I've got Firefox on my PC here, Windows, my Mac here, also. I got Firefox on my Linux laptop and at work. So I put it on all those, and it's just you go to one, it says, do you want to reconnect? I said, yes. It syncs that browser session up. Gives all my bookmarks, everything's the same. Go sit down in my Windows box, pull up Firefox. Syncs it. Bam. Done.
If you clear your history, does it clear it on the replicas or the backup copies as well?
It'll sync it. I haven't tried clearing the history, but the history does get synced as well. But you can turn that off if you don't want it.
Oh, okay.
But see, I chose to leave it because there might be some time I go, what was I looking at the other day? You know, and I can go pull it up.
Now you found another Firefox thing too.
Yeah, this is an alternative this one does bookmarks.
Yeah,
it's called Foxmarks. It's an extension you can install, and it'll sync your bookmarks up just like this, but it won't do, I don't think it does passwords and all other stuff, and if you want it, but it does or your browser history, any of that, just as bookmarks. It's called Foxmarks, and it's at foxcloud.com.
Is it any relation to Foxtrot?
Yeah. I don't think so.
you know Jason wants an iFruit.
Yeah, no, I've been following that. It's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
You want to talk to the genius at the fruit bar?
Slash drool.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, go check out the Foxtrot cartoon. It's you can get it online. Do you know the address? Probably just Google
it's for Foxtrot. I want to say umedia.com. That's Universal.
United Media?
That ain't it.
Whoa. Air Force Some Base move in?
Yeah, here you go.
You look for it, and I'll play this.
Meow, 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 meow.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm doing good. I just took off the laser shoot.
I'm not reading that.
Wait till April Fool's.
Tell me, Craig, what was it like?
Shazam.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, no to me. What was it like?
Did you ever have one, Chuck, setting registers to...
Take a listen if you're interested. Quality's excellent. Content is not too bad.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Forget you.
There's nothing like an apple. But do you really appreciate everything that is an apple? Sure, there's the attractive outer skin, but then you get to the meat of your apple. Right down to the very core. There's a lot in there. Discover all the goodness your sweet apple can provide you, along with the occasional rotten spots, worms, and bugs. With the Typical Mac User podcast and website, go to typicalmacuser.com. Go on. Take a bite. It's quite tasty. Mm.
Hi, this is Brian Kelly of Rough Mix, and you're listening to Chuck Tomasi
of ChuckChat.com.
Hacks and strange stories! is Lenny a hack or a strange story? I'm not sure. Oh, before we go on, foxtrot.com, if that wasn't too obvious for most earthlings.
If you've been on the internet at all.
What's this interweb Fox. Of which you speak?
Yeah. The hell you say?
Anyway, on with the hacks and strange stories. We've got one. Knockbox uses Wi-Fi to sell your house. This is a story from Engadget. This is a little device from a company called Knockbox. Says, that's right, instead of punishing users who sit outside your house surreptitiously leeching on your Wi-Fi, what you should really be doing is making use of that behavior to sell your on-the-market home. Wait a minute, what war driver is also just happens to be out looking for a house for sale? Whoa, was, look at that, it's only $40,000.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm out in the car and I'm like, whoa, hell, this house is for sale? Sweet!
But they do bring up an interesting idea to, you know,
yeah,
proxy or hijack their signal and send them where you want.
Hey, well, see, when you were talking about your free Wi-Fi at the rummage sale, I was like, oh, Chuck set up a web page and it hijacks everybody.
List all the things like it's eBay.
Send them straight over to your eBay account with all the things listed.
We're probably not far from something like this, that wherever you walk, if you're walking with your PDA down the mall or down Main Street or whatever, that you'll get some Wi-Fi signal that will show you specials and things. I mean, I don't know. Why don't they just hang a sign out front that says, here's the specials of the day, steak and chili and you know, salad for $4.95 rather than beam it to your PDA?
How about if they said free Wi-Fi and they made the first page that you pull up, which is easy to do.
Some specials you might want.
Yeah, it takes them to their website. You can browse off from there.
Don't hotels already do that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like Panera's Bread. And I go in the one here. I come up to their little page that says, you know, now you can go browsing. It basically just logs my MAC address and away I go.
Okay, next one. Better than snakes on a plane, we've got
GPS phone on a truck.
Ah!
GPS truck. Yeah. This gentleman took a phone that has GPS on it, was able to track it online, and he mashed up the data he was getting from it as he sent it through UPS.
So he followed this thing how? With Google Maps or something?
Well, there's this, I forget, was it Mologo? Or there's a service where, you know, a lot of these phones have Java on them, and you can install this Java app that transmits the GPS information that it's receiving, because your phone has, all the phones have GPS on it now.
No, phones don't have GPS on them.
Mine does.
Mine doesn't. So, mine has
it does.
GSM.
No, I'm not saying it's GPS that you can use. It's GPS. Sometimes they have that
I know what you're talking about. You can say, like, where is so-and-so, and it'll say they're roughly
if
on
you call,
the... I know what.
Yeah, if you called 911, they could find you because they get the GPS information.
Trapped,
but you can install an app that
bridge
will transmit this information to Mologo, I think it's called, one of those sites. Anyway, he was getting the data back and mash it up with a Google map.
I don't think my phone would have had that much battery life to last a UPS truck ride.
Well, it wasn't very far. I mean, why not? My phone lasts for 3 days if I don't talk on it.
I suppose.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean,
I was thinking it had to be transmitting, and that was just eating up the battery. But, no, you're right. You're right.
Anyway, he was getting the data, the GPS data from the phone, and then he was making a Google map with the data on it. You could watch it in real time as he was doing it, which was pretty cool.
All right. We're going to have to cheese it.
Oh, wait.
Okay, what?
I was gonna tell you. If you look at the bottom, I just noticed something at the bottom. It says, updated. The phone made it to Louisville, Kentucky, before the battery apparently died last night.
Ding, 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 ding. I tell you.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
We don't remember much else, but we do have listeners who help us out. This is from listener Dean Jensen, a.k.a. Beaker One. Here's one for your Remember When segment. He says, remember when the modem had two suction cups and you put the phone handset into it? Yes, I have one of those. And you were really excited when it got up to 1,200... Well, mine got up to 300 BPS.
I was going
to
say 1,200. That had been a light modem one.
An acoustic 1,200. I didn't have one of those. I played my first computer game, Oregon Trail, on the Minnesota Education Computer Consortium, or MECC timeshare system. You know what? If I turn around and look real hard, I could probably find the Apple II version of that that had some graphics of Oregon Trail.
Graphics?
Type blam. When you're shooting at a deer, there'd be a deer, and you had to type blam. So you go B-L-A-M. You were too slow. The deer got away.
Old Oregon Trail.
the high-res graphics of the mind. You gotta love those.
That's right.
Great show. Love, Dean. Well, he didn't put love in there, but we all know he loves us.
Yeah. Hey, you know...
Speaking. Wait a minute. I had a keyboard whoopsie. Go ahead.
I was going to say a keyboard whoopsie. That don't sound too good. Anyway, I was going to say the first time I ever saw anything really transmitted with a modem, I was at a friend's house. He had an Apple II. His dad worked at the university. Is in Texas. And he dialed in, and it had this, I want to say it was a VAX he was dialing into, and it had this little program where it had a little bouncing ball. It would bounce the little ball, and it would sing a song. Not sing it. I mean, it would ding, 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 ding. You know, it was playing a little.
But there was something magical about that first modem experience, to be able to talk to a computer somewhere else.
Yeah, just thinking the data's coming across the phone line now seems so trivial. And look at us now. We're talking with Skype over the internet.
We're taking it for granted, but there was that certain magic back then.
You can see technology makes things a lot better.
Yeah. Okay, now can we do the media corner?
Yes, please.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
All right, first one is Spoke POV. I don't know if we talked about this or not. It might have been in Mad Marv's links. But
you could have been dreaming.
Well, I know I've looked at these pictures before. These are bicycle spoke light... and electronics, so as your bicycle wheel goes around, the spokes light up in a certain pattern. One of them on this site, the back wheel is a Pac-Man that opens and closes his mouth. I mean, you got to remember, this bike is cruising down the road, so all the electronics keep things in sync. The faster you go, the faster it's kind of flash these lights, and Pac-Man's going, wow, wow, wow. But the front the front wheel...
Hey, wait a minute, Chuck, how's he going again?
Wow, 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 wow.
Okay.
One more time?
Sure.
The front wheel is a ghost. So as you see this bike cruising down the street at night, it looks like Pac-Man chasing a ghost. It's pretty far out.
That is cool.
There's another one with the, what is it, the biohazard symbol on it?
Yeah. I guess anything, any video you could upload into it, you know.
Oh, you can upload into this thing?
Why not? You had to put a picture in it somehow.
Well, these look like simple 8-bit graphics to me, but I suppose... Second one we've got is from YouTube. It's the Star Trek versus Star Wars, and this isn't too bad if you give them a little creative license. They take the Star Trek scenes from various shows and cut them into Star Wars, so it looks like the Enterprise is about to attack a Star Destroyer.
Here you go, listen. Wait a minute.
Barely getting that.
Hold on.
What is it, General?
Sir, we have a priority signal.
General, prepare your troops for attack.
Can you hear it?
Yes, yeah.
General. There you go, watch this. Or listen.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
Indeed, you are powerful.
All right, we'll put a link. Stop.
Okay, I'm stopping.
We'll put a link in the show notes. It's about 7 minutes long. It's not too bad, but don't pay attention too much to the uniforms they're wearing or who's sitting in Wesley's seat or what Wesley's wearing, because at some point it turns to Ensign Roll. Hey,
well, you know, there was that whole season where Picard wore that jacket.
Yeah.
And it was like a whole season. Whatever, why, I don't know.
But he wore that jacket. And then,
huh?
I like the jacket.
Oh, it was fine. I'm just remember there was a whole season just about where he wore it. Anyway, then they cut to another scene and there's them without any collars.
First season, second season.
And then there's a clip from one of the movies, First Contact.
Yep.
It's like, oh man.
They did keep pretty good continuity on Worf's hair at least.
Yeah. The Riker's beard comes and goes.
See, you gotta just play along with it. It's not too bad.
That's right.
I have not tried this yet, so this is an untested product.
Anything smart, we're getting rid of it. Download them all, which I like. Platypus, Sapare, and The Wiz. And you look under the word geek in the dictionary, and you'll see us there.
Really?
Yes.
You did this to me!
Please hang up and try again.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Geek Thoughts.
Our Geek Dictionary defines Ethernet as something used to catch the Ether Bunny. How lame was that?
We're fishing, aren't we? Yeah.
You almost forgot we had Geek Thoughts hiding back there, didn't you?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, a couple things left in the Geek Library before we head on out. We've got... How big... How powerful should the Death Star be? This kind of goes along with the clip we just played.
Yeah, if you go there, they have mathematical calculations on how much power the Death Star would need to destroy a planet. Which is kind of funny, so you go check that out. And I have a link from Boing Boing. They have some information on, what was the name of that place? It's a warehouse that has old memorabilia from the Disney World, Disneyland, all that stuff. Which is really cool to go flip through. The mousesurplus.com is what it is, but they have everything from the rides, you know, like the seats that you sat in, the table fixtures, and it's pretty cool.
Okay. How old? Old? Or like current old stuff? I mean, because some of the stuff they've got right now on Pirates of the Caribbean is old.
I'm talking like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. They had the whole... That since they've taken that out, they got the seats and stuff.
Okay.
The thing, the actual parts that you sat in to ride around the whole cart.
Why would anyone buy this other than to sell it in a rummage sale?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying they've got all that stuff there. They got a monorail car. Somehow they got that.
Wow. Now that would be kind of cool. Put that baby on like a bus frame and drive it around. No.
Yeah, put some wheels on it.
No kidding. That'd be fun.
Hey, free Wi-Fi.
All right, we've also got... that one almost got by me.
Yeah.
We've also got tons of links from Meds411 on 611. We've got fossil mounds that may be the oldest life on Earth, talking about stromatolites that are older than anything anyone has ever seen before. We've got... what else? Cracking.html, how safe cracking really works. Ooh, there's something we should all... Eating pizza cuts cancer risk.
Well, I'm good.
And one of my favorites, the history of the at symbol, or what we would say in at in English in South Africa, that little symbol for like the email addresses, chuck@chuckchat.com. In South Africa, it means monkey's tail. In Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia, it's...
Somehow that sounds appropriate regarding us.
the monkey's tail? Yeah. Or the second one, Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia call it it's the crazy. In the Czech Republic, it's the pickled herring. The Danish refer to it.
Crazy monkey's tail.
The Dutch refer to it as the alpha sign or elephant's trunk or pig's tail. Yes, these are all true, people. You can find out more. In Hungary, it's called the maggot. Mandarin Chinese, it's the mouse sign. The Poles say little cat or pig's ear, and it goes on from there.
Hey, leave something for the reader to go, listener to go all listen right. to.
Lots
to.
Of stuff. Thanks, Marv, as always. Lots of wonderful links that we put in. And that takes us to the end of the show. Oh, we That's do have right. one special announcement before we go. The next show will be a special interview with amateur astronomer David Levy. This is the man who co-discovered the comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 that slammed into Jupiter in 1994. In fact, he did the ID a little earlier in the show. And if you weren't quick on the geek draw and you don't listen to a lot of classical music, the music behind his ID...
Wait! See if they'll identify it and email
okay.
you.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one. Email us, chuck@chuckchat.com. Oh, don't forget, send us your pictures. Several of you have sent us pictures for the expo presentation. Thank you very much. Like to see more of those. Doesn't have to be special.
Fully clothed, please.
Yeah, we got to keep it clean. And also, several of you have given us a review at the iTunes Music Store for our Friends in Tech competition. We greatly appreciate that. If you could keep doing that. If you haven't done that already, we've got until the end of the month to really jam up and run to the finish line and get the reviews on the iTunes Music Store. That really, really helps us.
Review early and often.
Well, I don't think you can do often. Shh. We'll find out. If there's a way to cheat the system, the Technorama people will be it.
Hanging chads.
All right, give them the contact info.
Okay, this is how you can contact us. You can call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. Send out your comments to chuckchat@gmail.com. And you can email me, kreg@chuckchat.com. And the only constant in the universe, that's chuckchat.com, as we previously stated.
Because the speed of light isn't constant anymore.
Nah, it fluctuates. And go to, you can visit our forum, swag, webcam, mailing list, and links to much more from there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about them at friendsintech.com.
Audio streaming provided by Scott Reynolds. Chat room courtesy of freeno.net. If you're getting this show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing to get the show automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either of us an email, chuck@chuckchat.com, craig@chuckchat.com, and we'll tell you how. Tell a friend or six about Technorama this week and have them go to the iTunes Music Store and send us pictures and all that good stuff. Did you have a good time?
Yes.
We ran a little long, even though I thought we were going to be a little light on material. So we're going to have to talk fast at the end. Hurry up. Binary high five.
One's one.
Thanks, everybody.